Good evening. Good to have you all here tonight. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then we will get to our scripture memory material. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you this evening. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you this evening for the privilege and opportunity that we have to assemble together. We thank you for this time tonight for Scripture memory. We commit to you our time this evening, asking for your faithfulness in the verses that we look at in our fellowship together. And Father, we thank you for the past 6 weeks in which husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, parents and children have had the opportunity to look at some Bible verses, to memorize them together, to make a common collection of verses the subject matter for their family devotions, for their fellowship, for a point of commonality that they can discuss together in the things of the Lord. Father, we ask for your hand of guidance upon us moving forward. We'd like to extend this class for 6 weeks, for 12 weeks, Father, throughout the summer, if that is your plan. Father, of course, this is in your hands, Father, as to the participation and the involvement. We just thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. A little discouraging when the kids aren't here, the ones for whom we crafted the class. Well, that's all right. They don't need it anyway. We need it, don't we? They memorize the verses just like that, and we're the ones that struggle to try to get the verses down. All right. Well, we had the first 3 weeks that centered on six keys for the Christian way of life, and then we had weeks 4, 5, and 6 that centered on six verses that relate to our salvation. All right. By the way, I started this class with my microphone off, so that's not a good thing. And I'll work with our sound guy to keep me from doing that again next time. All right. Do we want to review some of these early ones? Are these the ones that we know the best? Or do we want to just skip on to the newer ones that we're having the most trouble with? All right. I can compact this as well so we don't give everything away. But in the first 6 verses, right, we're doing 2 verses a week. And so week 1, we had love by Christ and love by the Father. And then in week 2, we had love through the Spirit. Week 3, we had no greater love. Week 2, we had love through the Spirit and no greater love. And then week 3, God is love and no separation from love. So 6 Bible verses that we had to memorize based on all pretty much with love as a theme. 6 keys to the Christian way of life. And obviously, if we're to walk in love, you would expect that love is going to be a theme related to the Christian way of life. And so we have John 15:9, for loved by Christ. Anybody remember that one? Yes, that's the one. As the Father has loved me, remain in my love. Yep. That's the NIV, right, which has remain. Most of the other translations have abide. Who else remain? You put that on Facebook, didn't you? All right. So, yes, as the Father has loved me, so I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And we are loved by the Father. That's John 3:16. Everybody have that verse down yet? Who has that verse down? Zoe? So I may call on you the whole night long. You are the youngest one in the room, so we may call on you the whole night long. What's John 3:16 say? That's it. John 3:16. Thank you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, love is action-centered. It's not just God so loved the world that He told us He loved us. Some guys seem to think that saying it is enough. You have to live it. You have to show it. You have to demonstrate it. And first love has first deeds. And God so loved that He gave. Christ so loved that He gave. As we learn in Ephesians 5, that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Not one of our memory verses, but one that goes well with John 3:16. All right, and then we are loved through the Spirit, Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint. Why not? Because, who am I listening to? Done? The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There you go. So, does that include all of us? Who here does not have the Holy Spirit? Right? We understand that. If you are saved as a church-age believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. Every single one of us does. The only folks I think that are really confused about that are some of the charismatic folks that think that receiving the Holy Spirit is a step after you're saved, that it's a subsequent work outpouring of the Holy Ghost, or it's a separate, you know, work after salvation. But the New Testament makes it very clear that if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, that they are co-equal terms. Salvation equals receiving the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. All right. Then we have no greater love. John 15:13. Who remembers that verse? Sharon remembers that verse. There you go. Greater love has no one than this. Excellent. That one lay down his life for his friend. John 15:13. And obviously, who's the one that laid down his life for his friend? That's obviously who died for you? Okay, there you go. All right. No greater love. Then we have 1 John 4:16. God is love. But it doesn't start with the phrase, God is love. It starts with another phrase, doesn't it? Who remembers this one? Go ahead, Gina. There you go. And that, of course, is the King James 1611 translation, having its 400th birthday this year. Isn't that great? All right. Anybody with a non-King James memory on that one? There you go. Yeah. Abide, dwell, lives. The Greek verb is meno, and it means that this is where we are at home. Okay? We are living in God's love. We're at home in God the Father and God the Son and in His love. We're at home in His Word. We're told that if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And that means that's where you live. That's where you're comfortable. That's where you belong. You don't feel out of place. Okay? There's a difference between where you live and where you, you visit occasionally, right? Or where you stop in once or twice. Okay? You know, there's places I've been, and I've only been there once or twice, and it'd be kind of fun to live there full time, right? Well, Father hasn't allowed for that yet, but. Where you live is where you belong, is where you're comfortable, is where you're expected to be. In fact, when you're gone, you miss it. Okay? That's where you live. That's where you dwell. And we're supposed to dwell in His love. And I can appreciate that. All right. And then no separation from love. The neat thing about God's love is that once you're saved, you're always saved, right? Is once saved, always saved? Is that a Bible verse? No, it's not actually a Bible verse, but it is a handy, memorable saying, and it's true. Once you're saved, you can't lose it. You can't be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:38-39 tell us that, don't they? Who memorized Romans 8:38-39? Or just verse 39? I can call on Chris because he has all 12 of these, right? You got all 12 of these? We're going to bring Chris into the pulpit and embarrass him in front of everybody tonight. Bob, what's Romans 8? There you go. We'll be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's pretty comprehensive. Is there anything left out of that list? Things present, things to come? Are you a created thing? See, the people that think they can lose their salvation, they're disqualified in that passage by at least two or three different descriptions there, aren't they? They're a thing present, and they're a created thing, right? And they're certainly wimpier than the angels, than the principalities and powers that are mentioned there. God Himself can't separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, so there's no separation from love. Now, what if you try to earn God's love apart from Jesus? Can you earn God's love some other way? Can God love you in a way other than that which is provided through Christ? No, that's right. It's the only way by which we enter into that right relationship with God the Father, is by accepting the gift that was provided through His Son. It's the only way. If there was any other way, then the cross was unnecessary. But the cross was necessary. And so to be entered into the love of the Father means we have to accept the gift of salvation through Christ. All right, which takes us then into the second half of what we've covered so far over these last six weeks. Weeks 4, 5, and 6 all centered on God's plan of salvation. And have these been useful? Are you thankful to have these? Are these verses that you feel you could actually talk to other people about or use them and You know, if you have an unbeliever that you happen to be at HEB someday and the checkout clerk, you know, she looks at you while you're paying your grocery bill and she says, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, that always happens, of course. Are you ready to answer that? I mean, are these verses a help for you in terms of that? All right, well, all are lost and all have sinned. Sin ends in death, but Jesus died to bring you to God. Jesus took your sins, and there is no other salvation. These are the six themes as we think our way through weeks 4, 5, and 6 that we've covered so far. So all are lost. That's out of Isaiah 53:6. Remember that passage? All are lost. Lillian. That's it. And what translation are you memorizing? NASB. Okay, excellent. All we like sheep. So who does that leave out? Includes all of us, doesn't it? The whole human race. Everybody. Like we talked about in Romans this morning. It is a blessing that God has shut up the entire human race under sin. That is a joy. And we may not think like it is a joy, but it truly is a joy because that allows for a universal condemnation, allows for a universal salvation. So, you know, Native Americans don't need a different way to get there, or Muslims don't need a different way to get there, or Buddhists don't need a different way to get there. The whole human race is under the same condemnation in Adam. So the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, can be the source of salvation for everybody. Don't buy into that multiculturalism, pluralistic blasphemy that is spread throughout our culture today. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. All right, so all are lost. Not only are all lost, but all have sinned, according to Romans 3:23. Who has that one down? Excellent. That's exactly right. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if anyone tells you they haven't, they lied just there. So that's another sin on top of all the ones they've already done. All right. I shared a flight one time from St. Louis to Austin, and the lady sitting next to me told me, looked me right in the eye and said, no, I'm not a sinner. You don't sin? No. Ever? Well, okay. I mean, once in a while. But see, her mind was that because she doesn't sin more than she does sin, then that meant that, you know, okay. It'd be like a thief saying, well, yeah, I robbed that bank, but there were 14 other banks I didn't rob. And the judge would say, oh, well, you're right. Yeah, that's pretty good. Thank you for only robbing one bank. You know, you're a sinner. One time, one sin qualifies you to be less than perfect, to fall short of the glory of God. Just one sin. So all have sinned. We can appreciate that. All right. And then what is the outcome of that? Sin ends in death. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Who has this one now? Luke? That's it. For the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, that one I memorized as a child. I don't remember the word free being in there. Was that a change in the 95 edition of New American Standard maybe? No? It's in the old NASB too? Interesting. Okay. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I didn't highlight this in the last couple of weeks, but understand it's the wages of sin singular, not the wages of sins plural. Okay, and that's huge. Maybe not for a scripture memory exercise like tonight, but in general, we want to be cautious when we look at sin. Is it singular or is it plural? Because sins, singular, refer to all the individual personal sins we do. We lie, we cheat, we steal, the individual sins. But the sin, singular, either refers to the old sin nature, the fallen nature in Adam that dwells inside each one of us, or sin, singular, refers to the entire scope of the estate, the positional truth that we are in the lost estate in Adam. The wages of sin, singular, is, not are, is death. So that means, the 5 or 6 sins you've done in your life, or the 8 million sins I've done in my life, or the 400 million sins that Adolf Hitler committed, all of those individual sins, are those sins what put Adolf Hitler in hell? Is it the wages of sins are? Or is it the wages of sin is? Okay? So let's please understand that every human being in sin is just as guilty as Adolf Hitler and Mao Zedong or Charles, or you know, Stalin or any of these guys. It's the estate that condemns us. We're going to hell because of Adam's sin and the lost estate of humanity in a fallen relationship apart from God the Father. And getting saved is being redeemed from that and is being put in right relationship with God the Father. All right? It's important that we understand that. It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin singular, not sins plural. All right. So sin ends in death. Jesus died to bring you to God. This one and the next one. The ones in Peter are tough. Why are they tough? Right? Have you noticed that? 1 Peter 3:18 or 1 Peter 2:24? But 1 Peter 3:18, Jesus died to bring you to God. Anybody not named Christopher memorize that verse? You did? You did? You did? Excellent. Okay. Well, then I will pick on... What haven't I picked on yet? Did you? Irma. Did you have your hand raised? 1 Peter 3:18? What does it say? There you go. How, by the Spirit. Okay? NIV. All right? What does the King James say? But made alive by the Spirit. Excellent. Okay? Anybody else? Once. He died once. It is finished. Okay? Which to me makes the whole Roman Catholic Mass structure sad. If you're familiar with what the Roman theology is and what the Mass is all about, they're re-crucifying Jesus Christ with every single Mass. Once. And the Father doesn't want to remember that ever again. Okay? Once. The just for the unjust. Put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. All right. Jesus died to bring you to God. Jesus took your sins. Now, these last two were the brand new ones. We just got them a week ago. We've only had these for 7 days. Jesus took your sins, 1 Peter 2:24, and there is no other salvation, Acts 4:12. Who has these down for tonight? Good. Some folks are working. These are tough. Luke, what does 1 Peter 2:24 say? Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I want you just to understand that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. That phrase right there is actually a expansion on the idea to be saved, right? Jesus died that we should be saved. Die to sin and live to righteousness. That's a much more graphic definition of being saved, don't you think? Than just, oh, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. How about right now, today, you have died to sin and you're living unto righteousness. Wow. There's much more that's involved in my salvation, isn't there? Than just, hey, I'm happy I'm not going to hell anymore. No, there's dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Keep that in mind, because this is what the whole... If you get that down, then you've got Romans 6 already. We're not even at chapter 6 yet. The fact that we're saved, meaning... We're crucified, we're rising, we're walking in the newness of life, dead to sin, but alive to righteousness. Walking in that newness of life. That's outstanding. Who else has 1 Peter 2:24? Irma, go ahead. There you go. By His wounds you've been healed. In King James? Okay.
He healed His own self for our sins in His own body on the tree, that we then put death and sin. No, that's not the one. I've got it mixed up.
You're close. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. There you go. And by the way, there's large agreement among the King James Bibles, but there are differences among different King James Bible editions as well. So that there can be a word off here and there, and you're still dealing with an authorized King James text. All right. I like the Holman. A couple of these, the Holman's got some interesting, the last one, the 1 Peter 3:18, the Holman translation says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm." That kind of expanded out the idea of in the flesh and in the spirit by specifically indicating that it was the realm of these things whereby this took place. I appreciated that. The Holman, if you're not familiar with it, the Holman is one of the newest translations out there. It's been 20 years in the making, from the mid-1980s until just a few years ago. And some very conservative scholarship, evangelical scholarship, has gone into it. And the idea is to have it still with the principles of a literal translation, yet with a readable sense, so that in some of the passages where there's very, and they actually hired professional English grammarians, professional English writers and stylists, so that it would be similar to a newspaper, except without all the lies. It would be similar to a magazine article, for example. And if there are if there are some lengthy sections, it's pretty common in Paul where you got a lot of pronouns. He who. And now that you're in your fifth he who, you've kind of lost track of, was that Jesus or was that the Father and so forth. The Holman actually supplies a lot of the proper nouns for many of the pronouns, simply so that the reader doesn't lose track of the context of who is being spoken of in a particular passage. And so it's a little interesting because they were pretty blunt about this in their translation philosophy, to say some people won't like the fact that the Greek text has a pronoun, but our English translation puts a proper name in there. All right, but that is it was a matter of style for modern English readers that have become, in our modern English anyway, very dependent upon frequent references to the proper noun, and not so we don't get lost with all the pronouns and things of that nature. So anyway, it is an interesting text. I don't study from it. I don't teach from it in the pulpit, but I do read it fairly frequently. I like it as a readable, devotional-type Bible. It's really an enjoyable translation. So if you have an opportunity, and we are so wealthy and prosperous in this land, if you have an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to pick up a second Bible, an extra Bible, just a reading, recreational Bible, I would recommend the Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB, and it'll be Lifeway especially will carry them, because Lifeway is a Southern Baptist store, and the Holman is published by the Southern Baptist Convention. But it is, I do recommend it very highly. All right, and then our final verse. Let me collapse this again so we don't give it away. All right, Acts 4:12, no other salvation. Acts 4:12. And this one's awesome because in our pluralistic culture, we can do this. Zoe, what's Acts 4:12? That's it. Thank you. Excellent. Who else has Acts 4:12? Lillian? That's awfully close-minded of you. There's salvation and no one else? Oh, come on. Are you saying that only Christians can be good people? No. You can have all kinds of morally good people out there, but only Christians, only through faith in Christ, can we be restored to a right relationship with God the Father. Can we be saved? And that's the important thing. And that's not closed-minded. That's not bigoted. That's not primitive. That's not all the names that people will call you. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Right? Don't make apologies for that. That's faithfulness. Speak the truth in love. Because people that are out there believing the lie, thinking, "Well, I'm a good person. I'm moral. God won't be so unfair as to cast me into hell. Oh, yes, He will. Why would He not cast you into hell when you've rejected His Son? Look what He sacrificed that you could have eternal life, and you're going to spit on that? You're going to defy that? You bet God's going to throw you into hell. I'm surprised you're not there already. You know, you got an opportunity just to be blunt, be direct. You're going to try to find some other way. You're going to violate Scripture. There's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's the only way. It's the only option. I can appreciate that. All right. Well, those are the 12 verses. Can anybody not named Christopher just stand up right here tonight and run through all 12 of them, top to bottom? 1 through 12. Irma, you can do that? All right, I believe you. Should I make her prove it? Christopher, I know, I made him prove it 2 weeks ago. He's added 4 verses since then. Can you still do all 12? Top to bottom? All right. I believe you. Or should we get him up here? Should we make Chris do it? Should we make Irma do it? Who else has all 12? Zoe, do you have all 12? Not quite. Okay. I know that we got some missing students tonight. I know that, boy, Cameron just raises his hand every time, right? You know, almost stands on his seat. And Allison was really excited about the verses she was learning. And a lot of the kids that we had were excited about what we're doing. So I don't know. We'll see next week if maybe we pick up a few more. It's summer, Father's Day. There's probably, you know, people do fun things, right, with their families. They go places and do things. I've heard that. All right, so maybe next week we'll have better attendance. So anybody at home listening to this MP3 that keeps hearing the pastor talking about the low attendance, just pray about that and maybe be here next week. All right, let me read a chapter and then I'll give you the 2 verses for next week. How about that? I've been reading from N.A. Wojcik. You need to memorize Scripture. Are you convinced yet that you need to memorize Scripture? Chapter 8 is about children, so I'll save that for next week. Chapter 7, some examples. This is good, examples. Possessing the property of the Word internally is great gain. Internalizing the Word of God so as to involve the whole being, mind, soul, and spirit, is the means of spiritual prosperity and fruitfulness. A little later in this chapter, we will examine some examples of getting others to internalize Scripture. Knowing some Bible stories, historical facts, Bible names, and a general knowledge of the Bible is not the same as having portions of the exact words of God in your memory. Christians generally fail to see this distinction. It is good to know the books of the Bible and be able to relate some of the Bible stories, but this is not the same as being able to recall the exact words given us from God. All right? Those are the words. When Satan tempted the Lord, Jesus answered every temptation with, "It is written," and He quoted a Bible verse. All right? For example, it is always interesting to remember a few things about Psalm 23, but it is so exceedingly profitable to be able to recall that Psalm word for word. "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want." Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is perfect. Every word of God is powerful. The Holy Spirit resides in those words. Those words give rise to faith. This enables us to walk by faith. And that's exactly right. Faith is not some amoeba, right? I think some people got this nebula idea of faith. Faith is just kind of this cloud. It's kind of this concept. Oh, I have faith. I believe. Okay? And I think a lot of Christians misuse that term. I believe that God is going to give me a job in the next 2 weeks. Okay? Or I believe that God is gonna do something. And you want to be very cautious with that. I would prefer other terms like I'm confident or I trust. But I trust that God will take care of me is much better. Because if you're going to make a statement by faith, I believe whatever. Faith is grounded in a promise. Okay, so unless you can point to a verse. Unless you can point to a verse that says, on Friday, June 24th, your job interview will go very well and they'll offer you, you know what I'm saying? Unless you can point to a verse, then you're technically not right to say, I believe such and such, okay? You can hope, And you can, there's other terms you can use. You can have, and certainly you can have confidence that God will take care of you. But if you can't point to a verse, I'm going to try to urge this congregation to be more cautious about how you use faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're going to claim a promise by faith, then cite that promise. And if you can memorize that verse, memorize that verse. You may just simply point to a conviction. Say, well, I'm under conviction that God would have me to do something. And then that's a better way of saying than I believe, because faith has to be grounded in a verse. And maybe I'm just picking nits tonight, but we got some studies coming up where I think that's going to be addressed. And so don't be surprised if that gets stressed. Anyway, back to my chapter here. The words give rise to faith. This enables us to walk by faith. We must lay hold of the very words of God. We must internalize the distinctive property of the Scriptures. We must treasure them. We must believe them. We must think upon them. We must meditate upon them day and night. They are the means of our spiritual existence. At the homeschooling conventions, I try to show the difference between knowing some things about the Word and having the property of the Word in memory. And usually the attentive listeners stand amazed. Eating the Word. In that remarkable 55th chapter, which will be in next week on Wednesday night, by the way, Isaiah 55. In that remarkable 55th chapter, God asks some practical questions through the prophet Isaiah. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you spend hard-earned money in exhausting labor for that which does not bring lasting satisfaction? Then God points emphatically to something that is superior. Hearken diligently unto me, he says, and eat ye what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, when I teach it Wednesday night, I won't be reading the King James, but we will have the doctrine and the content of what Isaiah 55 is all about. And buying from God these things without cost, without price, because Christ already paid the price. This is what it comes down to. It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible, said Charles Spurgeon, until at last you come to talk in scriptural language, and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, so that your blood is bibline, and the very essence of the Bible flows from you. When you're that saturated with the truth, when your mind is saturated with truth, and it comes across in your prayers, it comes across in your conversation, it comes across in the things you fellowship in. Internalizing the Word of God is what this ministry is all about. Eating the Word of God is like holding the food in your mouth and getting the full taste of it. Turn it round and round, thinking of it from this point of view and from that, talking about it, and the whole process sinking it into the chambers of your memory and assimilating it into the bloodstream of your spiritual life. All right. Implanting the property of the Word. Learning things about the Bible is good, but the chief responsibility of the parent or the teacher is that of implanting or installing the property of the Word itself into the mind and heart of the student. This does not happen by chance or by some hit-or-miss effort. It is accomplished by design, by the use of a plan that is carefully developed. At this point, I'm going to lead the parent and the teacher through an actual process of accomplishing this. Are you ready? I will pose a couple of examples. Here is Monica Augustine in Rome, Georgia. She is homeschooling Josiah. She calls him Joe for short, her 11-year-old son. She is undertaking to help him memorize Bible verses in the Scripture Memory Book 5 titled Pleasing God, where 6 carefully selected Bible verses will be memorized in the course of 1 week. 6 verses in 1 week, all right? We got a pretty easy plan going here, which is 2 verses a week. And if we do this for the next 50 weeks, of course, we have 100 verses that we expect to have down in the one-year program. But if you were to obtain Scripture Memory Book 5 from Scripture Memory Fellowship, it's called Pleasing God. You get 6 verses per week to memorize. The title of the first assignment is Pleasing God in My Thought. And he learns the title of the book and the title of each assignment as he moves along. And so here in chapter 7, this gets a little lengthy, but it kind of walks you through the days and how you read and how you drill and how you memorize and how you, through repetition over and over and over again, and talks about what his mother Monica does at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner, when he wakes up, when he goes to bed, things like that. Anyway, it's really worthwhile. Let me give you the testimony of John Ruskin. You ever heard of John Ruskin? Lived from 1819 to 1900. Listen to the testimony of the great Victorian man of letters, John Ruskin, as he reflected upon his training and accomplishments. All that I have taught of art, everything that I have written, every greatness that has been in any thought of mine, whatever I have done in my life, has simply been due to the fact that when I was a child, my mother daily read with me a part of the Bible, and daily made me learn a part of it by heart. And truly, though I have picked up elements of a little further learning in mathematics, meteorology, and the like in afterlife, and owe not little to the teaching of many people, this maternal installation of my mind in that property of the Scriptures, I count very confidently the most precious, and on the whole, the most essential part of all my education. Can you imagine? Like somebody today with a degree from MIT, right? And counting all of his undergraduate, graduate, master's, doctor, and all the rest, saying, you know what? It was how my mother grounded me in Scriptures before I was 5 years old. That's what sticks. That's what's lasting. That's what's eternal. All right. Let me read one more story here. Phil Melanchthon, a member of Mr. Calvin's Sunday school class, began memorizing with enthusiasm, taking his memory book to work, as Mr. Calvin had suggested. On Monday, after finishing lunch, he took out his memory book and began concentrating on the first assignment. John Taller, that's T-A-U-L-E-R, an employee from another department, noticed the little book Mr. Melanchthon was using as he sat in the cafeteria. I see the title. Do you guys know the names already? Melanchthon? You know who I'm talking about? You know, of course, Calvin. Everybody knows Calvin. Okay. Melanchthon, if you have a Lutheran background, was really the driving theologian of Lutheranism in the early Reformation. All right. So an employee from another department noticed the little book that Mr. Melanchthon was using as he sat in the cafeteria. I see the title of that book you're reading is Prayer. Are you a Christian? Mr. Melanchthon was eager to give witness of his faith and asked Mr. Taller if he wouldn't mind eating lunch at his table so he could try to recite the first verse. You know, Mr. Taller said, I've been a Christian for several years now, but I've always had trouble memorizing Scripture. Is there any way that I can get involved in this? Mr. Melanchthon answered, I don't see why not. In fact, we could use our lunchtime to review and discuss these verses each day. The following Monday, both Mr. Melanchthon and Mr. Taller were sharing with each other the blessings they had received during the previous week as they worked on their verses. As they sat in the cafeteria, an employee from another department slowed down as he passed their table and remarked, I see the title of the booklets you have is Prayer. Are you two Christians? You see where this is going? And so on it went. A very unusual thing happened one day when Marty Luther, a salesman for the company who worked out of Wittenberg, Missouri, he says here, saw the two men working on their verses. Marty was a Sunday school teacher of a fourth grade class of boys. He told Mr. Melanchthon and Mr. Taller that he was discouraged with the lack of interest in the Bible shown by the boys. He couldn't help but notice that before class, his boys could recite ERAs, RBIs, batting averages, slugging percentages, etc. with relative ease, but when it came to hiding God's precious word in their hearts, there was little, if any, enthusiasm. What can I do? He asked almost in despair. The two men shared their information about the program of Scripture Memory Fellowship with great enthusiasm. They not only have selected verses contained in attractive graded books, but Scripture Memory also gives substantial rewards for successful memorizers. Marty Luther was deeply interested and secured all the materials from Scripture Memory Fellowship in St. Louis on his way back to Wittenberg, Missouri. Anyway, then it goes on. This is longer than I thought it was. But you understand, this is an allegory, and he uses the names of the great reformers, and he plugs them into a true story of something that happened in the early 20th century. And it's almost kind of like a Pilgrim's Progress kind of allegory. But and eventually it leads over to the story of how Billy Graham hid the Scriptures in his heart. But that paragraph about memorizing ERAs, about memorizing batting averages, about memorizing baseball statistics, you realize how convicting that is for me? I've memorized so much useless stuff. I've memorized dumb things. Why can I, to this day, I can recite Weird Al Yankovic lyrics? Okay? Trust me, that won't be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. I can count to 100 in Japanese. So what? Okay? All the useless things that I've memorized. I regret that I didn't spend that much effort in memorizing the Scriptures. All right, well, next chapter is chapter 8 about children, and so hopefully we'll have, it's a pretty long chapter, but hopefully we'll have some more of our children from the first. This is really the first week we've dropped like this. We've had better attendance. All right, let me give you the verses for next week, and we'll move on from there. 4 through 6. There's a, and I'll share this for next week as well. There's a wonderful devotion in here called, "What Do I Do When I Want to Give Up?" Are you there yet? I hope not. No, you're not, because you're here tonight. It's the people that aren't here tonight. What do I do when I want to give up? First of all, this is quite normal. All right. So I'll save this for next Sunday night. Maybe we can use this as an encouragement. So for folks that aren't here tonight, let me give you weeks 7 through 9. What are we going to do in the weeks 7 through 9? We're going to do 6 I Ams of Jesus. They're all from the Gospel of John. All right. We're going to start with bread and then light. That's this week. And next week we'll have gate and good shepherd. And then in, although, since we're not doing New American Standard, gate may not do anything for you. You may have to change that to door. Okay? But bread, light, gate or door, good shepherd, resurrection and life, way, truth and life. Those are the 6 verses that we're going to have over the next 3 weeks. I am the bread of life. So on your cards, again, are you still using your cards? On your cards, year 1, week 7, verse 1, bread. And the theme for this section is 6 I Ams of Jesus, bread. And your verse comes from John 6:35. Your second verse for week 7, that's year 1, week 7, verse 2, light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And this comes from John 8:12. We'll stop there. Well, there's 6 of them that we'll get in the process of these weeks. Bread, light, gate, good shepherd, resurrection and life, way, truth and life. Should be pretty easy 3 weeks, don't you think? Do you have some of these verses down already? Maybe? Probably Awana kids do. Awana likes these verses. Maybe Sunday school. Do you have some of these down already? That'll be helpful. All right, it's the 6 I Ams of Jesus, starting with John 6:35 and John 8:12 for 1 week from tonight. Any questions, comments, thoughts, recommendations? I do want to keep this going through the summer, so pray about it. Just pray about it. If God doesn't want to keep this going through the summer, then He'll shut us down. But I think that this is valuable. I think it's worthwhile. I'm appreciating the class. And we'll see if we can get back to where we have kids around next week. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Word of God that is alive and powerful. What a privilege we have to have the living and abiding Word of God dwelling within us. So, Father, I pray that you would help us in the coming week. We need to learn about your Son and His I Am statements. And Father, thank you that not only are we memorizing these verses, but you're even teaching us some of these doctrines and concepts right now in our Romans class and in our 2 Corinthians class. So the teaching is coinciding very well, Father, and I thank you for that. But I pray as we learn these verses that we would not just memorize words for no purpose, but actually meditate upon the truth that's communicated and embrace and appreciate the salvation that we have and the delight that we have, Father. This word is eternal. Not one jot, not one tittle will ever perish from this word. And we're storing it in our heart, Father, to be called upon in any testing circumstance that you place us. So, Father, I thank you for such a privilege and for such an opportunity. I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Appreciate you coming tonight. Keep your